the Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I believe it's a Thursday, which means it's Friday Eve. Always looking forward to the weekend around here. And we're looking forward to your calls at 844-967-2789. Jeannie from Eau Claire, welcome back. Jeannie, what do you got?
Hi, guys. I'm really glad you're covering this topic. I watched it, and honest to goodness, I could hardly stand it.
You're talking about the House Judiciary Committee, Jeannie?
Yes, and I was just nauseated, you know. There's no more excuses for their sick and barbaric comments and behaviors. You know, their responses included blaming Democrats, and they even had the kahunas to say, well, no one's standing up for the rights of 18-year-olds. You know, this is about protecting children, teachers, families, worshipers, medical personnel, shoppers. You know, I mean, this is about protecting the people in our country. And they had no concerns, expressed no concerns regarding the deaths of the kids and others. I mean, you know, I mean, they've been avoiding any concerns about people for a very, very long time. And, you know, the thing that really got me is when they were saying, the Democrats are bullying. They're bullying us. And I thought, why, you son of a guns, you're nuts. You know, the only solution is to fire their butts and get them the heck out of there. We have to do it. People have to wake up because these guys are a bunch of sickos. They haven't done one thing about any issue at all. And the only thing that comes out of their mouth is, it's the Democrats' fault. It's Biden's fault. You know what I mean? And they have no solutions, not any. And oh, our rights, our rights, our rights. Well, what about the rights of the people that have been shot and killed? What about, you know, it's just the massacres. And that's all they are, is massacres. And then they go, oh, the Democrats are making it political. Give me a break. These people should have been canned a long time ago, and if we don't vote them out, it's our own goddamn fault, because it's just, you know, it's sick. You can't get through to these people. We can't blame Trump for this. This is the Republican Party. These are the people making these decisions. Trump's on the side. He's not controlling this. I don't know who's controlling the Republicans, but they are responsible for the
own
behaviors.
But, Jeannie, let me interrupt you, and I don't mean to be rude, but
okay. The
Republicans, you know, if you talk about your neighbors who may have voted for Trump and might be Republican, and hell, they might even go hunting, they might even have a weapon, the vast majority of them think like we do, Gene. On the vast majority of these issues, statistically, the polling tells us people want universal background checks. They want red flag laws, even Republicans, even gun owners, Gene. They want these things.
I'm a gun owner. I want rules.
What kind?
I don't think just anybody should have guns.
What kind of gun you got, Jeannie?
Huh?
What kind of gun you got?
Well, we got a few. I don't want to, you know, just name them off, but well protected. But you know what? The point is, gladly give them up if it prevented people from getting slaughtered, massacred, murdered.
And Jeannie, you don't think there's any common ground? I mean, Democrats can be as harsh in their assessment in the House Judiciary as they want to be, and then it's got to go past the Senate. And it doesn't matter what we as quote-unquote Democratic supportive people might think, Gene. Until we find some sort of common ground, we're going to be right back to nothing and thoughts and prayers, unless the Senate side, they find, you know, some common ground with the John Cornyns and a few of the moderate Republicans where they could actually move something forward. Jeannie, do you think they should?
Where are the moderates? Where are the moderates, Trudy? All I heard was BS. I didn't hear any ideas. I didn't hear any compromises. I didn't hear anything. All I heard was it's the Democrats' fault, and you're bullying us, and you know, we got to protect the 18-year-olds, and it's our right. And oh, it was just sick. It really was. Absolutely no empathy whatsoever for the people who lost their children, people who lost their loved ones. Nada. These people are stoic, and they're bad news, and they're ill. And if we support that kind of behaviors, we're up the creek without a paddle, because there's no working with them. And you can see it. And when you watch them, it's like, just like the people were in the state of Wisconsin, when all the people came down there to express concerns when you guys were covering what was happening in our capital during Scott Walker, I'd call every one of them. They'd bawl me out for what I'd think of, you know, what I'm thinking. I call these offices of these Republicans, and I let them know, hey, you guys got to do something about this. It's pathetic. And they're getting phone calls because they're answering their phones, but they don't give one iota, just like the ones in Wisconsin, about what the people think. And so people call. Experience it yourself. Watch it. And then you'll see. Don't listen to me. You know, I could be biased, but I think it's a really important exercise for everybody to do. And call them. If you don't like this, call them. That's what they're there for. In fact, they're answering their phones right now because they're probably keeping a record of, you know, how many yeses and how many noes and that type of thing. So, anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, Crudy, but thank you so much for the work you guys are doing. You're outstanding. Thank you.
Jeannie, thanks for listening. 844-967-2789. Be like Jeannie. But Fancy Brian, we often complain about what the problem is, and we even try to, you know, place blame occasionally around here. But maybe there are some solutions to be offered. I'm going to share some of someone else's. These are Robert Gebelhoff. He is an assistant editor and opinions contributor at the Washington Post. And he offers these six opinions for solutions to gun violence that could work. Not saying in every circumstance and every single time ever, but they could reduce the number of gun deaths and maybe even some of the mass shootings. So I'm going to jump in, and I'd love to hear from you as well. You tell me, are these supportable solutions? Democrats, Republicans, I don't care what your stripe is. Can you support the following? As the author writes, for far too long, those who oppose gun reforms have said that nothing can be done to stem the violence. Those claims are demonstrably wrong. Research on gun violence is notoriously underfunded, but the data we do have shows that well-designed gun laws informed by science can save lives. So let's list off some possible solutions. And again, your opinion's welcome here at 844-967-2789. Number one, ban on weapons of war. The Las Vegas massacre, the killing spree at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, the movie theater shooting in Aurora, the Virginia Tech slaughter, the massacre at Walmart in El Paso. These are the five highest casualty, death and injuries combined, mass shootings in modern American history. And what do they all have in common? Semi-automatic weapons that allowed the shooter to fire rounds into crowds without reloading. Based on the evidence we have, banning these weapons probably won't do too much to curb overall gun deaths. We know this because in 1994, Congress passed legislation to outlaw the sale of certain types of semi-automatic guns and large capacity magazines. And the effect was unimpressive. Gun homicide rates declined during the ban, but they also continue to fall after the ban expired in 2004. One federally funded study of the ban found that the effects of violence was insignificant, partly because it's full of loopholes. But banning so-called assault weapons was never meant to reduce overall gun deaths. It was meant to make America's frustratingly common mass shootings less deadly, even if these horrific events represent a small portion of the gun violence. But folks, I would remind you, 231 incidents this year, mass shootings in our country. Let me read on. And in fact, mass shooting casualties dipped during the ban, although a study by the RAND Corporation found the role the ban played in the dip to be inconclusive. Here's what is certain from the research. Semi-automatic weapons and weapons with high-capacity magazines are more dangerous than other weapons. One study on handgun attacks in New Jersey in the 90s showed that gunfire incidents involving semi-automatic weapons wounded 15% more people than shootings with other weapons. A more recent study from Minneapolis found that shootings with more than 10 shots fired accounted for between 20 and 28% of gun victims in the city. So how do we keep dangerous weapons from being used in crimes? A ban on assault weapons might help. A data from a few cities during the 1994 ban suggests, but experts say focusing on reducing larger capacity magazines might be more effective. Simply put, gunmen are less deadly when they have to reload. Such a ban may take time to take effect, a 2003 post-investigation showed, but it would be worth it. Alarmingly, crime data suggests that crimes committed with high-powered weapons have been on the rise since the 1994 ban ended. And again, mass shootings account for only a small fraction of gun deaths, so any ban on these weapons and magazines would result in marginal improvements at best. But even if this step reduced shootings by 1%, far less than what the Minneapolis study suggests, that would mean 650 fewer people shot a year. The author asked, isn't that worth it? Again, you can contribute 844-967-2789. Fancy, you've got a contribution.
Look, when you're dealt lemons, you get lemonade, right? You try and make lemonade. We've been dealt with a whole bunch of mass shootings, and the upside to that, if there is any, is that we have a lot of data on them. And if we don't use it to as much effect as we possibly can, then what is wrong with us? No matter what the solution ends up being, like you said, there's no one solution that's going to be, oh, there's the button. It's all going to go away and everything's going to be glorious now.
The simple button or whatever it's called.
Yeah, you're going to have to cast a wide net. You're going to have to go and reduce likelihoods and you know, making them have to reload is one of them for sure.
Well, here's another solution offered by this author at the Washington Post. How about we keep guns away from kids? Occasionally, gun reform advocates call for raising the federal age limit for purchasing semi-automatic weapons to 21, as is already required for handguns. But why stop there? Why not raise the age for all guns, including non-automatic rifles and shotguns? This could make a real difference because young people are far more likely to commit homicide than older cohorts. One survey of prison inmates looked at those convicted of using a legally owned gun to commit a crime and found that a minimum age requirement of 21 would have prohibited gun possession in 17% of cases. So did you get all that? The 18 to 21-year-olds are using guns, even legally possessed guns, like nearly one in five of crimes, violent crimes. The author goes on to write, of course, keeping guns out of the hands of young shooters would be difficult because it's so easy for people to obtain guns illegally. But age limits in general have proved to be effective in limiting bad behavior. So it's worth trying. Didn't we used to have an 18-year-old drinking age in the state of Wisconsin? I mean, the federal government just threatened highway funds. And guess what? Tony Earl buckled. And boom, it's a 21-year-old drinking age. You know, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wasn't even aware what the drinking age was in the state of Wisconsin. And his point of view was, well, if you're old enough to go to a war and kill somebody, you should be old enough to have a beer. And I would flip that logic and say, you know, if you're not old enough to have a beer, maybe you shouldn't be able to go into Dick's Sporting Goods or, you know, whatever their offshoot brand is, Field & Stream, and buy an AR-15 assault weapon. I mean, it's one thing if you're in the military and they're trying to teach you to be a killing machine. You know, they like the 18 to 20-year-olds. They have less remorse. They're more moldable into killing machines. That and the push-ups and the sit-ups come easier. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. You can always join us. More solutions and more of your phone calls at 844-967-2789.
The House of Representatives has passed on to the Senate, and the Senate's getting ready to do something. Hopefully it'll get done where we will come up with a solution. And a really good one.